Oh, God, put back thy universe and give me yesterday.
Will Denver, the Silver King, and Nellie Denver, his wife.
Oh, Will, that ever we should part like this.
Their children.
Sissy and Mel.
Their old servant.
Daniel Jakes.
A disappointed suitor.
Geoffrey Ware.
His clerk.
Henry Corkett.
A detective.
Sam Baxter.
A rogue.
Elijah Coombe.
And Captain Herbert Skinner.
Otherwise known as the Spider.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Silver King.
They kept like that, neck and neck, the three of them, until suddenly Blue Ribbon shot ahead like a flash of lightning and won by a short head.
What about Denver?
Doubled up this time and no mistake. Went a smasher on the favourite, knows me £150 besides.
You're sure you cleaned him out?
Oh, sure as my name's Bilcher.
Where is he now?
We left him drinking in the bar at Waterloo Station. We promised he'd turn up here.
I'll run in and have a look at him by and by. Ruin. Now, Nellie Hathaway, I think I'll show you that you made a slight mistake when you threw me over and married Wilfred Denver. Well, gentlemen, I bid you au revoir.
Here's your ale, gentlemen. Full measure and brimming over.
Thank you, Tubbs.
The young Denver came a crocker today.
Yes.
Poor fella, I'm sorry for him. He's a downright good-hearted, jolly young fella, Mr. Denver is.
Oh, so he is, Tubbs, when he's sober.
Look, there's Mr. Denver's old servant, Daniel Jakes, come to look after his master.
Good evening, Mr. Tubbs. Have you seen my young gentleman?
You must give Mr. Denver a little extra time tonight. There's a good many public houses between Epsom and here.
No, but he promised the missus he would be home early tonight. They want to pop him off to bed quiet before she sets her eyes on him, you see.
He's been going at a pretty pace lately, ain't he?
Well, he's a bit wild, but there ain't no harm in him. Bless you, his father was just like him when he was a young man. Larking, hunting, drinking, fighting, steeplechasing, any mortal spree under the sun. Master Will's a chip of the old block. He'll make a man yet.
He'll make a madman if he doesn't leave off drinking.
You let him be. He's all right. Master Will's all right.
Yes, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm as drunk as a fool, and I've lost every cursed halfpenny I've got in the world. I'm all right.
What, back the wrong horse, Mr. Denver?
No, chaps, I backed the right horse, but the wrong one went and won.
What? What bad luck again, Master Will?
The devil's own luck, Jakes. I'm ruined. Bilcher, I owe you £150.
Yes, and I should like to know how I'm going to be paid.
So should I, Bilcher. So should I.
Come now, Master Will. You had better be getting home.
Home? What should I go home for? To show my poor wife what a drunken brute she's got for her husband? No, I won't go home. I have no home. I've drunk it up.
Don't talk like that, Master Will.
Now be off with you, do you hear?
Yes, Master Will, I'll go if you say so. I'll go.
Jakes, don't let her come here and find me like this. Tell her I haven't come back. Tell her any lie that comes handiest, but don't let her see me. Be off now, be off.
Poor Master Will, whatever will become of poor missus and the dear little ones?
Ruined. Oh, well, there's always one way out of it. This pistol. If it wasn't such a coward's trick, I'd do it.
If you don't know what to do with that revolver, I'll take care of it for you.
Huh? Who are you? I don't know you, sir.
No, but there are many who do. My name is Baxter. Come now, let me take that pistol.
Thank you. I'm much obliged to you, but I prefer to keep it. I may want it tonight.
Ah, good evening, Tubbs. How do?
How do, Harry?
Henry Corkett Esquire from you, Tubbs, if you please. Ah, what do you think of that for a roll of banknotes, eh? I backed Blue Ribbon for a win in a place and landed £500. Look there.
Biggest fools, best luck.
What did you say? Oh, it's you, Mr. Denver. I've seen you at my governor's place in Hatton Garden. Don't you remember me? My name's Corkett. I'm Mr. Weir's clerk.
No, I don't remember you.
Oh, no matter. Tubbs, champagne for Mr. Denver. Champagne for everybody.
Yes, Mr. Corkett. At once, sir.
All on me. Oh, come, gentlemen, all drink my health. Hand it round, Tubbs.
Certainly. Here's to the health of the beggars that win. Put them on horseback and let them ride to the devil.
What's that?
Oh, don't take any notice of Mr. Denver, Harry. He's been hard hit on the derby today.
Oh, well, we can't all be winners. Come, gentlemen, drink up. Hang the expense.
Look here, Corkett. Corkett, you've got more than you know what to do with. I'll play you for any game you like to name for any stake.
Oh, I don't want your money.
But I want yours. If you've got the pluck of a rabbit, stake it. Win or lose.
All right, 50 other billions then, I don't care.
Come on then. Hang it all, my luck must change. It shall change. I'll win or the devil's in it.
Come on, gentlemen, follow me and see the fun.
Ain't you going to watch the fun too, Mr. Baxter?
Not me. I've no wish to see those young fools make greater asses of themselves. Oblige me with another glass of bitter, if you will.
Certainly, Mr. Baxter.
Ah, Captain, my dear boy. I'm so glad you've come.
What's this? The Spider and his crony Elia Coon. There must be some big game on tonight. I'll keep this newspaper before me face and my ears open.
Good evening, gentlemen. How may I serve you?
Brandy for myself and for my friend Captain Skinner.
At once, gentlemen.
Coom, you old weasel, how often have I told you not to acknowledge me in a public place?
But, my dear boy, business is business, and there's a small fortune in store for us if we act quickly.
Hmm? How so?
Listen, a sack full of diamonds in Hatton Garden. No risk, no danger, and as easy as falling out of bed. What do you say to that?
Hatton Garden, eh? How do we break in?
By cutting through the wall of the house next door. Now, here, in this very place, there's a young chap who lives in the house.
Right, there's a man watching us. By heavens, it's Sam Baxter, the detective. I recognized him when he lowered his newspaper for a moment.
Baxter.
Yes, you fool, don't look at him. No doubt he means to follow me up. I'll throw him off the scent directly.
I told you that I knew I'd do it. And I landed him proper, didn't I? Huh? Tubbs, pulled it off again, me boy.
What, have you won, Harry?
Of course I've won. Denver wasn't in it. Drinks for everyone, you hear? Come, gentlemen, we'll make a night of it.
See, that's the young sprig I was telling you about. He sleeps in the house we want to get into. Now, if we could get hold of him...
Now, quiet, you fool.
Now, gentlemen, let's be merry. Drink up. I've made your money like a gentleman. I'll spend it like one. See, my pockets are bulging with the stuff.
Now, what you must do is to relieve him of those notes while I draw off Baxter's attention. The young fool will be more useful to us when he's cleaned out.
Right, you are, Captain. Now, here's the address where I'll meet you. 114 Hatton Gardens. Be there at dusk.
And Cripps, the locksmith, we'll need him.
Yes, he'll be there too.
Good. Now do as I bid you while I draw Baxter up.
Trust me.
So, you want to have a finger in our pie, do you, Mr. Samuel Baxter? Very well, then. Follow me and I'll lead you a pretty dance tonight. Aye, boy. Get me a hansom.
Now, gentlemen. I'm hanged if I don't stand you another bottle of champagne. I've got money enough. Hey, what's this? Here, somebody stole my money.
Nonsense, Harry boy. There ain't no thieves here.
It's gone, I tell you. Somebody must have taken it.
Come, gentlemen, no larks with the poor young fellow. If you've got his money, give it back to him.
I'm ruined.
Why, of course.
That man must have it.
Which man? Tell me.
That fellow who was sitting in the corner there, behind a newspaper. The one with the billycock hat and checked trousers. Oh. He's just sneaked out. He's got your money, I'll be bound.
Which way did he go?
This way. Come on, I'll help you catch him. I shall know the rascal again when I see him. Come on.
Come on, gentlemen, help me find him. Oh, I'm ruined. I'm ruined.
Another man ruined. Well, there's comfort in misfortune shared. We'll go to the dogs together. Tubbs, give me some brandy.
You've had enough, Mr. Denver.
I'm the best judge of that. Do as I say.
As you wish, sir. Oh, Mr. Ware, you're back.
Yes, Tubbs, I'm back. Well, well. How are you?
Three parts drunk and the rest mad, so keep out of my way, Geoffrey Ware.
Nonsense, Will. I never saw you looking so bright and sober. I'm very glad, for Nellie's sake.
Whose sake?
Mrs. Denver's. Excuse the slip of the tongue. She was once engaged to me, you know.
She knew better than to marry you.
It seems she did, for she married you.
Yes. And she'll stick to me through thick and thin. Why, you sneaking cur. Do you think I don't know why you're always creeping and skulking about my house under pretense of being my friend? But let me tell you this. Whatever befalls me, my wife will never marry you. Never.
Come, Will. I don't bear you any grudge for taking away my sweetheart. I'm only too glad to see what a fine, kind, sober husband she has.
I've warned you once. Keep out of my way. The devil's in me tonight.
Well, take care he doesn't break out, dear boy. Goodbye. Give my kindest regards to Nellie.
You swine. Keep her name off your filthy lips. Do you hear? Oh. Ah.
So it's a fight you want. Yeah. Well, I'm ready.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, no quarrelling here. Mr. Butcher, help me to pardon.
Mr. Denver, gentlemen, what you done brawl in public?
Let me get at him.
You'd better go, Mr. Ware, before there's murder done.
Very well. Will, don't forget my message to your wife.
Now, Mr. Denver, you'd better go home, you know.
Oh, no, let me stay here, Tubbs. Oh. Oh, my head. My head.
Come away, Mr. Bilcher. Perhaps he'll drop off to sleep and then we can carry him home.
Yes. Carry him home, Tubbs. And sing, here a conquering hero comes. And then bury me and play the dead Martin's soul. Oh, my poor wife. My poor, dear wife.
Will?
Nellie, you here in this place?
Isn't a wife's place by her husband's side?
Not when he's such a husband as I am. I've ruined you, Nell. I've lost every sixpence I have in the world. Tomorrow you and the children will be penniless. Oh, Nell, my dear, dear girl, what made you marry me, a drunken brute like me?
Because I loved you. I love you still. Oh, Will, I've just put our little Sissy and Ned to bed, and they have said, God bless, dear father.
Oh, don't teach them to pray for me. Teach them to curse and hate me. Go home, Nell. I'll come when I'm sober. Go home now. Go home. Tubbs, give me some brandy and don't keep me waiting. Tubbs, where are you? Brandy, I say.
Oh, Will.
Brandy!
My dear husband, what have you done to us? Oh.
Have you suffered enough?
Geoffrey, where? You here?
Has that husband of yours dragged you deep enough into the mire? Or will you go deeper still, to rags, to the gutter, to starvation? Nellie, you once promised to be my wife.
Yes, and when I found out my mistake, I told you of it and married a better man.
Yes, you married him, and that day I swore I'd ruin him. I've kept my word. Good evening, Mrs. Denver.
Stop! Geoffrey Ware, and answer to me.
I don't propose to do that now. You're drunk, my dear fellow, you know. Hopelessly drunk.
The coward shall answer me. And before the night is past...
Come back, Will, come back!
Let me go, I say! Let me go, I say! I'm going to kill that man. I'll shoot him like a dog.
Come back, sir! Come back! Will! Will, stop him! Ah! Will nobody stop him?
Well, my dear boy, looks as if he's given us the slip and no mistake.
Yes, and taken all my money with him.
Well, what's done's done, I suppose.
But you ain't heard half of it. You see, I borrowed the money I put on Blue Ribbon. £80 of it from me governor.
And who might your governor be?
Geoffrey Ware, you know the gentleman. I didn't mean no harm by it either. I was going to put the money back. On a bright I was.
Still, that's very awkward indeed. They say that judges can be very unfeeling to parties as borrow their governor's money without mentioning it to their governors.
So I'm a goner.
Now, did I ever say you was a goner? Yeah, well, the fact is, I've taken a fancy to you. I'll tell you what I'll do.
Huh?
I'll lend you £80.
You will?
On one condition.
Oh, anything.
You live at 140 Natton Gardens, don't you?
Yes.
Who sleeps in the house with you?
Well, my governor. And an old porter called Leaker.
Your governor spends the evenings out, don't he?
That's right. He comes in about 12 as a rule.
And does old what's-his-name Leaker wait up for him?
No. He sleeps like a log. Stone deaf, too. What do you want to know?
Well, you see, a friend of mine, one of those photographers, as they call themselves, is up to a bit of a scheme. He's taken a set of views and nothing will please him, but he takes one of his flashlight pictures from your governor's rooms.
Oh?
Only he must have peace and quiet while he's working, you see. So if you could let us into the house...
What's the game?
There ain't a game. If you don't want to help us, say so, and we'll forget all about it. Including that little question of the £80.
No. No. I'll help you. I can see that I must.
Good. Now, just stroll along with me till we get to your governor's rooms, and then you're out with your key, and in we go. Simple, innit? After all, you've got the key to number 114 Atton Gardens.
Cripps? Is that you?
Yeah, Captain Skinner. Been hanging around Atton Garden the last half hour.
Have you got the tools?
See for yourself. Yeah. Beauties, ain't they?
Now, they'll do. Only don't flash them around as if they were the crown jewels or someone might... What's the matter with your man?
Didn't you hear? Footsteps. And coming our way.
Yeah, quiet. They're coming round the corner now.
Well, Mr. Corkage, home at last. Not a very warm welcome, I fear.
Is it you, Mr. Coon?
Oh, well, it's Cripps.
No, I'm in a hurry, so let's get this business over quickly.
We're all in a hurry, even Mr. Corkage in a hurry, aren't you, my dear boy?
Yeah, I don't know what we want him for anyway.
Mr. Corkage is here to help us. Look, he's got his key with him, all ready to let us in at the front door.
Here it is. There's no need for a key. Door's been on the latch all along.
Yeah, does that mean that your master's still on the premises?
No, the latch's a bit stiff. It's easy to make a mistake.
And don't you make a mistake. Put your head round the door and see if there's a chink of light showing anywhere.
No. Not a sign of life.
Good. Then you can lead us up to your master's room. Come along, gentlemen, and remember, quietly does it.
As you say, my dear boy, quietly does it.
This is the door to his room. I'll light the lamp.
That's better. Does himself very well, your master. Hi, Cripps, where's the plan?
Here. And this is the wall. This one.
Good. Now let's see what we're up against. Not too thick.
Yes, but where's the safe, Cripps?
Should be just about here. Now, I'll move the couch so the captain can work closer. You know, when I was fixing up that safe on the other side of the wall, I said to myself, this will make a nice little job for a certain gent I know. Meaning you, Captain Skinner.
That's enough cackle from you. That's going to work. Cripps, you hold the lamp up where I can see the wall. Yeah. Corkett.
Yes, sir.
Get down into the street and keep your eyes skinned for the sight of your precious governor.
Yes, Captain.
And you, Coombs, stand by to hand me the tools when I need them.
Whatever you say.
Now, for the safe. Keep the lamp high, Cripps. I can't see a thing. That's better. Now, if I try here...
I'll tell you, I must see Jeffrey. I'll tell you, you can't come in here,
the
sir.
The devil's that?
Someone at the street door.
I know that, you imbecile.
I'll go and see. Confusion take you, I tell you, I will see Jeffrey.
He's not here.
My name is
Wilfred
Denver, and I must see Jeffrey Ware.
Oh, Captain Skinner, what am I to do? There's a wretched drunken fella down there playing Deuce and Tommy and says he wants to see Mr. Ware, says his name's Denver.
Denver, eh? Well, then you'd better send him up here to me.
Up here? What are you going to do with him, Captain?
I have my chloroform pad with me. I always have it handy for an emergency like this. Go along, Choom. Do as I tell you.
Right, I will.
Now, Cripps, out with the light when I tell you, and then keep out of the way.
Yes, Captain.
And here's my little pad, nicely perfumed with chloroform, and all ready for our impetuous visitor. Right, Cripps, lights out.
If you'll just sit this way, sir. Mr. Ware's rooms is at the end of the stairs.
So, this is the room. Dark as pitch. But that only matches my purpose. Now, Jeffrey Ware, you hound, come out from wherever you're hiding and settle my account.
Here I am, Denver.
Who's that? You're not Ware. What is this with... Huh?
Quickly, Cripps. Pick up his revolver and put it on the table out of harm's way.
Yes, Captain.
Now then, let's have some light and finish our work. We've wasted enough time on this fellow, Denver.
Captain.
Captain Skinner! Captain Skinner!
How the devil's up now?
Oh, Captain Skinner, you better clear out of here and sharp.
Clear out?
Yes, that goes for all of you. I've just seen my governor, Jeffrey Ware, coming down the street. Oh, my crimes.
Corkett, is that you up there? Oh. What the blazes are you doing in my room?
You better run for it, Captain. He's a terror when he's roused.
Too late to make a bolt now. I'll just have to put a gold front on it.
Now then, Corkett, perhaps you'll have the goodness to explain. Who are these men?
Only friends of your clerk.
And what are these burglars' tools doing here? And this... Oh, God. Help! Murder! Thief! Oh!
You've killed him, Captain. You've killed him. We shall all swing for this.
You will if you don't shut your mouth. Coom, open the window there. We shall have to make our escape over the roof. Come on, man. The window. The window.
All right, Coom.
All right, Cripps.
Corkett, follow them.
Yes, Captain.
And now, Mr. Ware, on behalf of my absent colleagues, may I wish you adieu. You poor fool! You should not have crossed my path!
Oh, there am I. My head. Oh, this won't do. Get home, Wilfred Denver, you drunken scoundrel. Oh, my head, my poor head. I can't even recollect how I came here. Oh, yes, I remember now. I came to kill Jeffrey Ware, drunken fool that I am. Well, I'd best get home before I do some mischief. Where's my hat? I can't see anything in this darkness. That's better. Now to find... What's this? Jeffrey Ware?
What are you doing here? Get up. Get up, do you hear? What's this? Blood. A bullet wound. And there, on the table, my revolver. One barrel fired. He's dead. And I have killed him. Don't look at me like that, Geoffrey Ware. Don't stare at me, accusing me. Close those eyes, I say. Will they never let me be? No, never. Never. I murdered him. God have mercy on my soul. I killed Geoffrey Ware.
Six o'clock. Oh, will Wilfred never come? Well, Jakes, have you seen him?
No, missus, not sight nor sound of him.
You don't think he can have carried out his threat against Mr. Ware, do you?
Not he, missus, never you fear. Mr. Will won't come to no harm, so don't you sit up any longer a-waiting for him.
Bless you, Jakes. I don't know how I shall bear my troubles when you're gone.
When I'm what, missus?
Gone, Jakes. You see, we're ruined. We can't afford to keep a servant any longer.
Well, missus, let me tell you, you won't find me so easy to get rid of. My life's voyage is pretty well over, and if the ship sinks, I'll go down with it. I stuck to you in prosperity, and I ain't going to leave you now the trouble's come.
Dear, kind Jakes. Oh, but come, this will never do. You must be tired. Oh. Go to bed. I'll call you if I want anything.
Very well, missus, if you wish it.
Oh, that's a good Jakes. Good night.
Not good night, missus, but good morning.
Ah, if it were the dawn of a new and happy life. Will.
Keep away from me. Don't touch me. You don't know what I've done.
Will, not that. For mercy's sake, say it's not true.
Ah, if I could. Yes, it's true. I've killed him. I've killed Geoffrey Ware.
No.
Oh, if I could wipe it out. If I could bring back the past few hours. Fool. Fool. Fool.
But how did it happen?
I don't know. I can only guess. I was mad. Dazed. I went to his rooms. It was dark. I called out for him. He sprang up on me from behind the door. We struggled. I suppose my revolver must have gone off. And then I don't know what happened. The next thing I can remember was waking up, and there, in a shaft of moonlight, he lay dead, shot by me. Look, he's staring at me. He'll stare at me forever. Look. Don't you see him? Hide him. Hide him from me.
Oh, my poor Will.
Don't touch me. There's blood upon my hands. Oh, my poor Nell. What have I brought you to?
Don't think of me. Think of yourself. You must hide.
Hide? No. Let them come and take me. You'll be well rid of me. If there's a spark of love left in your breast for me, crush it out. Oh, I've been the maddest fool that was ever sent upon this earth to work mischief.
But Will, you mustn't stay here. This will be the first place they will search. You must go to one of the big railway stations and take a ticket for a long distance, do you see? Make it appear you're trying to leave the country. And then you must leave the train at the first station and so throw them off the scent. What money have you?
Ah, this cursed pistol. Take it away before I do any more mischief with it.
Never mind that now. I'll get rid of it when you're gone. What money have you?
Not a shilling in the world.
Nor I. Ah, you will be lost for the want of a few pounds.
No, missus, he shan't. I've saved up a little money against a rainy day, and Master Will's as welcome to it as if it were his own. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Then get the money and his top coat and hat and his portmanteau. Quick, Jakes. It's a matter of life and death.
I know, missus, I know.
It's no good, Nelly. I might as well wait for them here. They're bound to catch me sooner or later.
No, no, no. You must escape.
Yes. And the children. My little Ned and Sissy. Dare I kiss them before I go?
Yes. Come. They're asleep.
No. No. I'm not fit to kiss them. Oh, Nelly, when they grow up and ask for their father, what will you say?
Here you are, Mr. Will. Here's the clothes and the money.
It's no good, Jakes. I can't take your money.
Oh, don't say mine, Master Will. It all came from you in the first place. Oh,
quick, dear, you must take it.
Give me a few pounds then and I'll shift for myself. Here, Jakes, you keep the rest of it for her. You'll take good care of her, won't you?
You needn't ask me that, Master Will.
Oh, Will, that ever we should part like this. What's that?
They've come for me.
What do you mean? The window, Jakes. See who it is.
Yes. Yes, I can see him standing there in the porch. A chap with a billycock hat and check trousers.
Baxter, the detective. Great heavens. What shall I do?
This way, quickly. Out of the back door. We'll keep him talking.
Yes, there's nothing else for it. Goodbye, my darling Nell. And forgive me. Forgive me.
Now fly. Fly for your life.
Farewell.
Now, Jakes, quickly. Go answer the door, but be sure to keep the man waiting.
I'll do all I can, Mrs.
Oh, my husband, my poor Will. What's to become of us now? What shall I do? Sir, what do you mean by this intrusion?
Mr. Wilfred Denver. I must see him at once.
Why, tell me your business.
My name is Baxter, Detective Samuel Baxter, and I have a little matter I wish to discuss with your husband.
He's not here.
No. By the look of it, he left in a hurry. Or he would not have forgotten this.
The revolver!
Yes. You should have been a little more careful with it, shouldn't you? Now, let's have a look at it. Ah, yes, one barrel fired. We'll see if the other bullet fits it later on. Goodbye, Mrs. Denver.
No. No, you shan't go.
I must do my duty. Stand aside, Mrs. Denver. I must do my duty.
Who give you permission to sell your papers here?
Sorry, Governor.
And don't governor me. I'm an inspector of the London and North Western Railways, and you are to call me sir.
Yes, sir. Miserable perisher. Paper! Where you are, Gov? All like this?
Mm-hmm. Me?
That's right, Gov. You read all about what won the derby for Penny.
Thank you. I know that already.
Oh, Gov. He's a genuine account of the Hatton Garden's murder what took place last night in the very heart of London.
So. They know already. All right, give me one. Anyone will do. Here, keep the change.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now come along now, please. Have you got your ticket?
Yes. Yes, here it is.
Liverpool, front carriage next to the engine. All right, sir, only make haste. The express is just leaving.
Thank you. Thank you.
A policeman to you if I'll catch you pestering the passengers.
Well, I wasn't pestering them, sir. Here, look what the last one gave me.
What last one?
Oh, the cobalt went by in a big hurry just then. Look at this. He gave me a tanner. Plenty for paper and fivepence for the boy.
If I catch you...
I say, Inspector.
If you want the 9:15 to Liverpool, it's just gore.
Oh, perdition, take my luck. Now, what did the Johnny use on it? Now, look here. Did you happen to notice a gentleman in a brown overcoat, brown hat, with a portmanteau getting on that train?
He come through the barrier about 3 minutes ago, caught the express by the skin of his teeth, had a first-class ticket for Liverpool.
And what's the first stop?
Rugby, due in 2 hours.
Then we shall nab him at Rugby.
Nab him?
Yes. I'm going to wire the police there now and ask them to detain him. I'll just nip across to the telegraph office and then just Scotland Yard.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
I'm a detective, you fool, and that man was Wilfred Denver. He is wanted for murder.
evening, sir.
Good evening. I see this is an inn. I wondered if you had a room here which you could put at my disposal for the night.
Yes, indeed, sir. I'm afraid there's a party in the best front already, but the top back's free, if you don't mind being a little cramped, like.
No, I don't mind.
Well, come in, then. Oh, you look tired.
Yes. Yes, I am tired.
Well, a good night's rest, and you'll be as fresh as a daisy in the morning.
Yes, I shall be better tomorrow.
You'll be nearly starving, I dare say. What can I get you?
Just bring me a glass of water.
A glass of water? Well, won't you take anything with it?
No, nothing, thank you. I'm not hungry.
Very well, sir.
Tell me, do you get the London evening paper here?
Oh, yes, it generally comes about this time.
Let me have it the moment it comes, will you? I must know. Just shut the door. Don't let me be disturbed.
As you say, sir.
How long will it last, this accursed uncertainty? Risk upon risk, danger upon danger. Only last night I, Wilfred Denver, wanted for murder, fleeing for his life, jumped from a railway carriage as it hurtled on through the darkness. Oh, what a fearful jump. And if someone had seen me do it, all in vain. 8 o'clock. Yesterday at this time, I was innocent. Geoffrey Ware was alive, and I could play the fool and laugh. And now, oh God, put back thy universe and give me yesterday. Too late. And what of Nelly and my children? Oh, heaven, work out some way of escape for me. Not for my own sake, but for the sake of my dear wife and innocent children who've never done any wrong. Spare me till I have made atonement for the evil I have done. I wonder where I am. I must have dragged at least 20 miles today. Ah, what's this? A railway timetable. That means there must be a station near here. Good.
Here is the water you ordered, sir.
Thank you. I'm much obliged to you, I'm sure.
No trouble at all, sir.
And the evening paper? What of that?
Yeah, I've got that too, sir.
You're very kind. I've everything I require now.
Oh, very well, sir. I was only trying to be of service.
Good night. Now then, let me see the paper. What's this? Terrible railway calamity. 7:35 express from Euston. That's the train I was in. Ascending an incline, came into collision with some detached goods wagons descending on the same line of rail. One of the wagons was loaded with petroleum, which ignited with the shock of the impact, and in a moment the front part of the train was wrapped in fierce flames. Within a few minutes, the three front carriages, with all their occupants, were completely burned out, rescue being impossible on account of the intense heat. Among the ill-fated passengers was Wilfred Denver, who committed the murder in Hatton Garden last night. What's this? And who has thus paid the last penalty of his crime in the very act of flying from justice. The last penalty of his crime. Then I am dead. Dead to all the world. Merciful heaven, thou hast heard my prayer and given me my life. I take it to give it back to thee. My wife, she will see this and think me dead. Better so than to be tied to a murderer. Yes, my darling, I have done you harm enough. Now I will set you free. Wilfred Denver is dead. Tomorrow I set foot for lands unknown to seek my fortune overseas and to start life anew.
how it snows. Herbert.
Yes, my dear Olive, what is it?
Herbert, you must know what's in my mind. That poor woman and her children who live in the gardener's old cottage. Surely you aren't going to turn them out in wintry weather like this.
That is what I do intend to do, my dear.
But why? Why?
Because one of the children is dying and they are all starving. I object to people dying and starving on my property.
But what will they do?
There's a nice comfortable workhouse about 2 miles off.
Oh, but surely...
Now, Herbert, don't argue, Olive. The woman can't pay her rent. She must go.
But it isn't her fault. She is poor.
Fault? It's no fault in England to be poor. It's a crime. That's the reason I'm rich.
Rich? When I think how our money has got, I grudge the poorest laborer's wife her crust of bread and drink of water.
Ah, that's foolish. My profession is just as good as any other, till I'm found out.
When you talk like that, I hate you. Your profession, indeed. Burglary and murder.
Silence. If you'll mention that cursed affair again, I'll never mind what I'll do.
But I must speak, Herbert. I beg you. You must do something to take the stain from that man's memory.
Man? What man?
Well, the man you wronged. Wilfred Denver.
Ah, be quiet, will you? What a fool I was ever to tell you of it. But mark my words, Olive. Well, what is it, William?
The gentleman I hear, sir.
Good. Excellent. Send him in here, will you? And see that we're not disturbed.
Will you step this way, please, gentlemen? Mr. Coombe and Mr. Cripp, sir.
Ah, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, my dear boy. And your good wife. It's a pleasure to see you looking so well, ma'am.
Thank you. I think, Herbert, there is no occasion for me to stay.
As you will, my dear.
So, quite the grand lady, isn't she, Captain?
Yeah, I suppose I should be flattered by that, Cripps. Well, let's do business. About this little job on Tuesday next. Well, what is it now?
A gentleman is here, sir. A ragged gentleman, sir. A name of Corkett, sir.
Corkett?
Oh, lummish. That's a regular bolt from the blue, isn't it?
Tell him I'm busy and can't be disturbed.
Tell him nothing of the sort, Captain Spider Skinner.
Deuce take you. That will do, William.
Thank you, sir.
It's a pretty hole you let me fall into. I've just done 12 months, as you ought to have done.
Now, come, my dear boy. That's no way to talk. Well, I was only just thinking of a nice little job we've got in our hands that would suit you down to the ground.
No. I'm hanged if I'll agree to that.
Careful, my dear boy. Hmm? Got to keep this lad's mouth shut. He might still split on us about the Atton Garden affair.
All right, if you say so. Corkett, I don't like your bullying tone, but just this once I don't mind doing you a favor. You can have a hand in our next job if you've a mind to.
Done, Captain. And now I'm here, I think I could eat a little luncheon.
We always dress for dinner. Mrs. Skinner makes a point of it.
Ah, too bad. I left my dress togs with me uncle, Captain. You'll have to excuse my morning dress this time. No, don't worry to ring for your flunky. I'll find me own way to the banqueting hall.
Damnation, take his impudence. Here, Coombe, if that fool takes a drop of liquor with his lunch, it'll fly to his head and he'll be blabbing all over the country. Go with him and see he sticks to water.
Of course, me dear boy, of course. Anything for an honest living.
Very well, Captain.
Ah, that cursed Corkett. Am I never to be free of him? And the others, Coombe, Cripps, I wish they'd all die. I've a mind to cut the whole gang out after our next coup and to disappear. I retire to some quiet country place where none shall know me. Go to church, turn church warden, and set a fine example to the rest of the parish. Confounded, what is it now?
Herbert, here is the poor woman who lives in the gardener's cottage. Come in. You shall speak to my husband yourself.
Oh, there.
Mercy, sir. Mercy on a starving woman and a dying child.
My good woman, you'll be much better off in the workhouse. There you will be provided with food and your child will be attended by a doctor. I've made up my mind to pull down that cottage. It isn't fit for a dog to live in.
Then let me live in it and my children, only for a few days. Till my child is better or dead.
Well, that's just it. Your child may die. And I don't wish him to die on my property, not 100 yards from my door. I dislike death. It's a nuisance. I don't wish to be reminded of it.
Oh, Herbert, think of what you were doing.
Thank you, dear lady. Beg him to let me stay.
Have the goodness to believe that I mean what I say.
I will not believe it. I'm sure you do not wish my little boy to die.
Herbert.
You are listening. You will have mercy, yes?
Oh, very well. If you don't bother me anymore, you can stay until your child gets better.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yes, we know all about that. Now go away and leave me in peace. Olive, show the woman out.
Will you come now? Thank you again and again, sir. You have saved my child's life.
By heaven, am I never to be free from plaguing women of all the curses known to...
Captain Skinner! My dear Captain Skinner!
What the blazes is up with you, Coombe, bursting in here without a by your leave?
Captain, that woman, the one who was here not a moment ago with your wife, she's Denver's widow!
Denver? You must be mistaken. How do you know her?
They pointed her out to me at the inquest on Ware's body. I'm not likely to forget her.
That man's widow here at my door. Coombe, can you do this job for me?
What?
My wife has a maggot in her brain about that Hatton Garden accident. If she finds out that this woman is Denver's widow, she'll make my life a purgatory and the whole business will leak out.
Well, what's to be done?
Well, she's living in that old tumble-down cottage of mine. She can't pay her rent. She had notice to quit for the last fortnight. Go and get some men and turn her out.
Right, Captain.
Denver's widow. Lucky I found out. They can do their starving somewhere else. They shan't do it on my property. No, by heaven, not while Captain Skinner lives.
Yet mercy is above the skies. Ah, how sweetly the music sounds. Blessed music indeed, to cheer the thoughts of the returning wanderer. Repentance, pardon, peace, the old, old message, the sweet old message. That must be for me, Wilfred Denver, yes, even for me. And hear the children come, laughing and romping. Who knows but that one of them may have news of my own dear ones? Who knows indeed? I've tracked them from one wretched home to another. Shall I ever find them? Or find them only in the grave? Why, one of them is weeping. Come here, my little one. There's nothing to be afraid of. There. Now tell me why you are crying, little girl.
The others won't play with me. They won't speak to me.
Shame on them. What makes them so cruel?
You promise you won't tell anyone?
Of course I promise. It shall be a secret between us.
Well, they say my father killed a man.
Killed a man?
Yes. You're frightened too, aren't you? Aren't you?
No, my dear. I'm not frightened. Tell me quickly now. What is your name?
Sissy Denver.
My own child. What fantastic trick of fate is this? My own child. Where do you live, Sissy?
In that cottage. Look, there by the log pile.
In that wretched hovel. Tell me, Sissy, who else lives there with you?
Mother, Ned, and our old Jakes. Jakes has gone to look for work. Mother is nursing Ned.
Nursing? Is he ill, then?
Oh, he's been very, very ill. But Mother says he's getting better now. The doctor says Ned would soon be quite well if he had nice things to eat.
And so he shall. Everything that money can buy. Here, take this purse. Oh. You'll find plenty of money in it.
Oh, thank you. You are so kind. But what will you do without
it? I've got plenty more at home, my little one. And now, will you give me a kiss?
I know I should have been very fond of you if you had been my father.
God bless you, my darling. You mustn't mind when your schoolfellows speak unkindly of your dead father.
I won't. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe he was a bad man.
Always think that, my dear. Always think that. There now. Run and find your mother and give her that purse. Say somebody gave it to you who thought you were like a little girl that he'd lost. And say, too, that... Why, if I could but send you one word from my living grave. Now, run along, dear. Make haste and tell her of your good fortune.
Oh, yes, that I will.
Run on, then, my brave little girl. Run on, my own sweet darling. Jakes, my dear old Jakes. Can it really be him? Will he recognize me? No, these long years have wrought too many changes. I will chance it. Excuse me, my man, but I heard there was a sick child in this cottage, and since I take great interest in the sick and the poor, I wish him to have the best medical care and all the food he needs.
Well, that's easy said, sir. But where's the money to come from?
His little sister has my purse. If there are any further expenses, send the bills to Mr. John Franklin, Kensington Gardens, London.
Who is Mr. John Franklin? If you want to give us some money, let's have a look at your face, too.
As you will, Jakes.
Master Will... Master Will, God forgive me. It's my old master come back from the dead. Oh, say it's really you, Master Will.
Yes, it is I. Come back, as you say, from the dead. My wife, is she well? How is she? Has she suffered much? Does she ever speak of me?
Oh, Master Will, I can't tell you what he's had to go through. Oh, sir, you've come back at the right time. We're nearly starving.
Starving? But what has happened to the money that I have been sending to you?
It never reached us, sir.
Oh, never mind. That's all over now. I'm rich, Jakes. I'm rich. When I left England, I went to the silver mines of Nevada. I had to struggle hard at first and could only send you a few dollars. I was almost starving myself. But one morning, I struck a rich vein of silver. And today, I'm richer than I can count.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it, Master Will. I can't believe it. 5 long years. As for Miss Nelly, she'll go mad with joy.
She must not know, Jakes. Not yet. It is not safe.
Not know? Not tell her. But surely you're safe after all these years.
I shall never be safe until I stand in the dock to answer for my crime. If I were to go to her now, and we were to be united, and then in a year or 10 years, I were to be dragged from her side, convicted, and hanged.
You mustn't say such things, Master. Why, if the mistress only knew that...
She shall know in time. But meanwhile, I have a plan for her, Jakes. You are to tell her that your uncle has died and left you all his wealth.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you must tell her that it's your dearest wish to buy our old home again where she can live with everything that money can buy.
The old Grange.
Swear to me that she shall never know that your uncle's fortune is mine.
I swear.
But oh, Jakes, how I long to see her. To see her without being seen.
That's easily managed, Master. Follow me over here by the woodpile, Master Will, and you can stand close to the cottage window without anyone seeing you. But when Miss Nelly returns, you will be able to see her and hear her. For there's a great chink in the window frame. See?
God bless you, my dear old Jakes, for all your kindness. God bless you. I shall never be able to repay you.
There now, don't you talk nothing about that, Master Will. Why, just see you come back like this pays me 50 times over. I always said you would. I always said you... Shh. Here comes Miss Nelly now. She's going into the house.
My wife. My poor wife. But where is Sissy?
Shh, Master Will, or she'll hear you.
There. Let me see what money I have left in the world. Only a few shillings, it seems. Well, my little Ned,
You shall have a meal tonight, even if it costs us our last penny.
My own Nell. The girl who left her own bright home to follow my cursed fortunes. Oh, if I look another moment, I must rush and hold her in my arms. But who's this? I seem to know his face. Can it be? Yes, by heaven, it's the fellow who showed me upstairs to Geoffrey Ware's room that night in Hatton Gardens. What, by thunder, is he doing here?
Now, my dear good lady, don't be alarmed. I've only come to ask you in the kindest manner possible to pay your rent.
How can I pay it? I've only a few shillings in the world.
Where is Sissy? Where is the money?
Ah, that's a pity. Because as you can't pay, you must go.
No, no, let me stay tonight, only tonight. I'll go tomorrow morning. My child is in that room very ill, and if he is moved in this bitter weather, it will kill him.
Oh, my God, I can bear this no longer. Where is Sissy?
Help me.
No, my dear lady. You can't say I didn't warn you.
Mother.
Thank God. Thank God my darling came in time.
Oh, don't cry, Mother dearest. I've been trying to find you everywhere. See what the kind gentleman gave me.
Hey, what's this? Show me what you've got there, my little lady.
No, I won't. The kind gentleman gave me this to give to Mother, not to you.
Oh, he did he? And who might this kind gentleman be?
He had white hair and such sad eyes. And he told me that Jakes and Mother and me are never to want again, and Ned is to have a doctor who will make him well.
Oh, my darling child, my dearest darling, this was no man. This was an angel from heaven. Here, Mr. Coombe, take your paltry money and go, go.
Yes, 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 of course, sir. Who's this gentleman with white hair?
Yes, my darling, an angel from heaven. An angel from heaven.
Now, looky there, Tabitha. There comes Master Jakes himself. Morning, Master Jakes, and me humble respects to you, too.
Morning, Gaffer Pottle. Morning, Tabitha.
Morning, Tabitha, you old fool. Curtsy to Master Jakes.
That I won't. Donald Jakes and I was brought up together, and I ain't going to curtsy for him for all he's dressed up so fine.
Fancy old Donald Jakes buying the Grange and being lord of the manor and bringing Miss Nelly back to live in it. Yeah. They do say he had a rich Uncle Samuel who died and left him a fortune. But I never heard of no Uncle Samuel, and I've known him long enough.
Well, that's as may be. Donald's master of the Grange now. And I wouldn't say as I mightn't be mistress of it afore long.
You might too, Tabby. Pigs might fly. Looky, Tabitha. Mr. Snell's are coming out the Grange now.
You're looking as pretty as a pig.
And so she is. God bless her, I say. God bless the mistress.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear, dear friends. I'm so happy to come back again. You see, I too have known what it is to be poor, to be as cold and as hungry as the poorest of you all.
Oh, no,
but all that is past, thanks to dear, faithful Jakes.
No, mistress, that's enough of that.
It is not, Jakes. Friends, I want every one of you to know that if it were not for Jakes, I would never have seen the old Grange again.
Good old
A little while ago, his uncle, Samuel, died and left Jakes all his fortune. It is that fortune that brought me back to my beloved Grange.
Good old Jake.
No, 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 I say. I don't want thanking. I won't be thanked. Now get along, the lot of you, and eat your dinner. Well, mistress, are you happy?
Oh, Jakes, I'm back in my old home without the man who made it all so dear to me. Everything here, every tree and brick in the old house recalls his dear presence. You can't give that back to me, Jakes. Not that. Well, I mustn't cry on such a wonderful day as this, must I? I shall go and give the poor people their dinner and thank you again, Jakes. Thank you.
Poor missus.
Master Will.
Shh. Softly now. Is anyone about?
No, Master. They've all gone to the grand banquet you've given them. Oh, and ain't I glad to see you. You're needed pretty bad, I can tell you.
Why, has something troubling Nelly? Have I not made her happy?
That you have. But don't you see, Master? Home ain't walls and a ceiling and furniture. Home is where them you love is. And she's fair breaking her heart because you ain't here to share it all with her.
Shall I tell you why she must not know that I am alive?
Aye.
Will you promise never to speak of it again?
That
if I do.
Will. That I will.
That man Coombe, who came to turn my poor Nell out of her cottage, that man was at the house in Hatton Garden the night Geoffrey Ware was murdered. I'd been following him up for the last 6 months ever since I recognized him. He has a shanty down by the river where every kind of foul plan could be hatched in secrecy. I've been there often in the past few weeks, disguised as a poor deaf idiot, hoping I might find something. I don't know what, but something that might give me the right to believe I did not shed Geoffrey Ware's blood.
Oh, that would make the mistress happy.
But I have watched in vain. So last night, when I got home, I hit on a different plan. There is a city in Nevada, Jakes, which I built with my own fortune, a city built by silver, where every child is taught to reverence the name of John Franklin, where I am a king, the Silver King.
The Silver King?
There I vowed I should take my dear Nell. I should be free from the law, and we could live out the rest of our days honored, happy, and at peace with all the world. And then, Jakes, I went to sleep and dreamed of my judgment.
Oh, Master.
Ah, I see you start. But you can guess what it is to dream the dream of a murderer. It is a bed of spikes and arrows, a torch-like procession of devils. Sleep! Oh, God! There is no hell like a murderer's sleep. So I dreamed we were in Nevada, my sweet Nell and I was seated on a throne in a great hall of justice to judge a man charged with a crime. And just as I opened my mouth to pronounce sentence, Geoffrey Ware came up out of his grave with his eyes staring, staring at me as they stared the night he died, and as they will stare till I, too, am dead. And he said, come down, you whited sepulchre. How dare you sit in that place to judge others? And then I saw a hand coming down out of the sky, a hand with no flesh on it, and it fastened on my heart and set me in the hall of justice in the prisoner's dock. And when I looked at my judge, it was Geoffrey Ware. And the hand gripped me again and set me on the gallows, and I dropped, dropped, dropped. And then I awoke.
For mercy's sake.
So you see, Jakes, though I fly to the uttermost ends of the earth, there is no hiding place for me, no rest, no hope, no peace.
Jakes! Hello, Jakes! Kind gentleman again. You've come to see us in our new home. I'm glad. But you've been crying. Why? Are you unhappy?
Not now, my little sissy. Not now.
Then you shall come and live with us. You should play with my rocking horse if you like.
Yes. What games we could have, couldn't we?
Oh, do say you'll come. Do, do.
What would your mother say?
Oh, she'll be glad, too. She often wonders who you are.
Well, then, Sissy, I'll tell you. I am a king. A silver king. So men call me.
Then, if you are a king, why do you cry? Kings are never sad.
They are sad sometimes, Sissy.
Well, you must not be sad any more because Mother will be coming.
Your mother must. No, I can't. I can't. I must leave you, Sissy. I must say goodbye.
Oh, no, no, you mustn't go. Mama does want to see you so badly. Wait here, I'll go and fetch her.
Master Will, won't you stay?
No, Jakes. Let me go. Let me go, I say. Not a word. For her sake.
Poor Master.
Come on, Mama. Come along. But where is he, Jakes? Why has he gone away?
Yes, Jakes. Where is the gentleman?
He was pressed for time. He had to catch a train.
You're lying, Jakes. I know you're lying, and I must have the truth. Who is this man? Who is he, Jakes? Who is he, I say?
Oh, Mrs., can't you guess?
Ah, I knew it. I knew it. He's alive. Take me to him. Make haste. I cannot wait a moment. Ned, Sissy, my darlings, kiss me. Kiss me. Your father is alive.
Be mad to wait on this wharf night after night as I do. But if a drowning man may clutch at a straw, why may not I, Wilfred Denver, clutch at a hope of innocence? Geoffrey Ware's old clerk. Can this be another link in the chain?
So this is old Coombe's shanty. What a lark it'll be to see their faces when I walk in. That'll teach them to try and make game of Henry Corkett.
He's going up to the door. Perhaps I can use this man.
What? Hello? Who the devil are you?
Me. Get them poor deaf Dicky. Oh, I'm so cold. I've got no home. I've got no friend. Oh, take poor deaf Dicky inside and get warm.
No, I won't, you impertinent old bag of bones. If you don't clear off, I'll warm you up in a way you won't fancy.
Oh,
go on. Be off with you.
Poor deaf Dicky, I got...
They don't seem to relish the thought of strangers here. Perhaps I'm on the right track. There, Corkett's gone into the hut. Oh, dear heaven, if only I dared to follow him in. They're all inside there now. Cripps, Coombe, Skinner. To think that not 12 yards from where I stand is a man whose word might give me wife, children, home, all. And I stand here and do nothing. Well, nothing venture, nothing gain. I'll try to overhear what they say, and then, if things go well, by heaven, I'll learn the truth if I have to knock down that door to do it. Now, first to find a chink where I can listen. Ah, here's just such a place.
Do, dear boys. Ah, spider, old chummy.
Why, it's our young friend, Henry Corkett.
What do you want here, Corkett?
Pounds, shillings and pence. Especially the pounds.
Take care, you young ruffian. You're nearly at the end of your tether, and you know it.
Ah, at each other's throats already. Let's see what Deaf Dickie's interference will do.
Well, what do you want?
Who the devil are you?
poor damn Dickie get poor Dickie got no helmet. He got no friends. He got no place to sleep. Poor
Coombe,
damn Dickie.
Do you know anything about this wretch?
Yes, my dear Captain. He's as deaf as a post and he ain't quite right in the upper story.
I wonder now. A deaf idiot couldn't tell any lies about us, and the police could never get anything out of him. In fact, he'd be just the man to watch this place while we're not here.
Before we go, Captain, you're a blinking marvel.
Coombe, take our guest away and find him a bit of sacking to sleep on.
All right, Captain. Here, you. This way. I'll show you where you can sleep.
I've got no sleep,
you understand?
Oh, by the way, Cripps, I'd like a word in your ear.
What's the word, Captain? What's the matter?
Coombe, I think he's got hold of some of the swag from that job we did last week. And I don't think he has any intention of letting on to us about it unless we, persuade him.
He'd better not try on anything with me.
Just so. He'll back me up and we'll get at the truth directly.
Now then, Spider, old chummy, what's all the whispering about?
None of your concern, Corkett, so I thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head. Now, Coombe, what the devil are you taking so long about?
Come in, Captain. There we are. The idiot's gone to sleep like a dog and we're all ready for business. Now then, what's up?
I think you're the one who should be telling us that. Now just cast your mind back to the evening of Wednesday last when we relieved a certain party of her valuable diamonds.
So my last bit worked. Thank heaven. They think I'm asleep. Now I can listen to my heart's content from behind this wall.
In short, Coombe, I am of the opinion that some of our haul has been filched and that you can tell us where they are. Or rather, where you've got them. Now, Coombe, where are those diamonds?
My dear boy, I've got a gentleman from Amsterdam coming to see him next week.
Never mind that, I want my property. Those jewels are worth £6,000, and once more for the last time, where are they?
Better and better. Every man showing himself in his true colours at last.
Don't get into a temper, Spider. We'll settle for them next week.
No, we won't settle for them next week. We'll settle for them now.
Yes, we'll settle for them now.
Cocket, you infernal jackanapes. What business is it of yours?
Every business of mine, Mr. Spider. Here, look at my pockets. Empty. I mean to have 50 quid out of this.
Oh, you do.
Don't give it me. I'll let on about Hatton Garden 4 years ago.
Hatton Garden? My God, we're getting at the truth.
All right, Cocket, you fool, if that's the way you want it.
Oh, let me go. You're strangling me.
Come, my dear boys, this won't do.
Spider, stow it.
I've given you rope enough, Mr. Cocket.
Don't you talk about rope, Spider. If it comes to hanging, it won't be me. It'll be you.
What does he mean?
Curse you. Will you never give me peace till I kill you?
Yes. As you killed Geoffrey Ware!
Skinner, so it was he. And I am innocent. Innocent. Thank God.
What's that?
Who's that?
Wilfred Denver. Huh? Stand from that door, or by heavens I shall strike you down.
Demon! By all that's devilish, stop him! Stop him, I say! Stop him!
Stop me? The whole world shall not stop me now!
The waits. How comforting it is to hear their sweet voices again. They always came up here to the Grange in the old days. And the Christmas bells. How joyfully they ring across the snow with their good tidings. Almost as if they knew the happiness in my heart. Dear heaven, have pity on me. See, my eyes are full of tears.
Too full of tears to see your husband.
Will. My Will alive.
My own
sweet Mel.
Oh, Will, don't speak. Don't say a word. Only let me look at you. Let me cry, or else my heart will break. Don't stop me, Will.
My poor darling. You were looking so anxiously from the window that you didn't even see me come into the room.
Oh, dear, Will.
That's right. Have a good cry and ease your heart. Oh, Mel, Mel. I've such news for you. The best ever spoken. I never killed that man. I am innocent.
Oh, Will, is it true?
Yes, my own, it is true. Tell me, do you find me changed?
Yes and no. Changed and yet not changed. You're always the same to me. You're always my Will.
Mel, our children, our little Ned and Sissy. Where are they?
Oh, Daddy.
Dear Daddy. Oh,
close. Quite close, my darling.
I know who that little girl was that you lost.
Well, tell me, who was she?
Why, me, wasn't she?
Yes, and I've found her now. I shall never lose her again.
Oh, but you are crying, Daddy.
Yes, yes, my little one. I'm crying.
You too, Jakes. What is there to cry for?
No, don't you take no notice of me, Missy. I'm not crying. I'm only laughing the wrong way.
Hello. Who can that be so late at night?
It can't be the waits, because they always come to the back door for their cake and ginger wine. Jakes, will you see who it is?
Yes, Miss Nelly.
My darling Nelly.
What is it, Will? Why do you stare so out of the window so strangely? What have you seen?
A face. A face that I know.
Oh, I'm frightened, Mama.
As well you may be, my little Sissy. That face has little of the man and much of the devil in it. Look, Mel, do you see him?
That man?
Yes, my dear Nell. But he cannot harm us now. Come, you'd better take the children away for a while. I have to speak with him.
No, let us stay. I would rather stay.
As you will. Sir, will you be kind enough to step in here for a few moments? Captain Skinner?
Good evening. Mr. John Franklin.
My name is Wilfred Denver, sir. My only business with Captain Skinner is to tell him to his face that I have no business with him.
Mrs. Franklin, I hold your husband's life in my hands. If you value it, beg him to hear what I have to say.
Is it true? Are you in danger? Yes. Yes, let us hear what he has to say.
Go on, Captain Skinner.
We are both in danger. Why not make a mutual concession? Silence for silence. You to keep quiet on my affairs, I to keep quiet on yours.
And the alternative?
You fight me, I fight you. You proclaim me a thief and get me a possible 7 years. I proclaim you a murderer and get you hanged. Now, take care. We are playing with an edged tool. It cuts both ways, but the handle is in my hands and the blade is toward you. You had better remain John Franklin. Wilfred Denver is dead. Let him remain so.
You lie. Wilfred Denver is alive, and today all the world shall know it. Nell, there stands the murderer of Geoffrey Ware. Shall I make peace with him, or shall I fight him? Give him his answer, Nell.
You shall fight him.
There. You have your answer. Go.
I warn you, I shall go straight from here and give information to the police that Wilfred Denver is alive.
No need to go so far, Captain Skinner. Huh? The police are here.
Sorry, Master Will, I couldn't keep the gentleman out.
I see you don't recognize me, Mr. Denver. But I recognize you, sir. You gave me the slip one night at Euston Station. Yes, and gave us all the slip for several years, I might say.
Surely I... Oh, yes, it was you who came to our house the night that Geoffrey Ware was murdered.
That's right, ma'am. Detective Sam Baxter of Scotland Yard.
Baxter!
Now for my chance.
Baxter, I hope you know your duty. Arrest the murderer of Geoffrey Ware.
Oh, I know my duty, sir. That's why I'm here. To arrest the murderer of Geoffrey Ware. Come here, Captain Skinner, otherwise known as the Spider.
Hmm?
I've got a couple of nice, bright Christmas presents for you.
Huh? Handcuffs? What does this mean?
It means that your friend, young Henry Corkett, has turned Queen's evidence. Not to mention the evidence of your other friends, Messrs. Coombe and Cripps. thanks to young Corkett, we've bagged the lot. And they've all been very talkative. You've got quite a lot to answer for besides murder, Captain Skinner.
Handle that, the blackguards!
Well, no. I think that may happen to you. But I fancy they will get off.
Oh, don't let them off, mister. Hang the lot of them.
Mr. Denver, I shall want you as a witness against this man.
I shall be ready to come when called upon, but I've no desire for revenge. My only wish is to clear my name.
That is already done. Come, Spider. We'll have to hurry. I want to catch the up train. Good night. And a happy Christmas to you.
And the same to you. Good night, Mr. Baxter.
Come along, Skinner.
Yes, the happiest Christmas for many a long year.
And the first of many happy ones to come. But now let us kneel and give thanks on our own hearth and in our own dear home, where I wooed you and won you in the happy, happy days of long ago. Come, all of you, Nelly, Ned, Sissy, and you too, Jakes. Let us give thanks that the days of wandering are over. I am home at last.
That was The Silver King, a melodrama by Henry Arthur Jones and Henry Herman. Wilfred Denver was played by Donald Wolfit. Nellie Denver, his wife, by Rosalind Iden. Daniel Jakes, their old servant, by George Merritt. Geoffrey Ware, a disappointed suitor, by John Boxer. Henry Corkett, his clerk, by John Hollis. Sam Baxter, a detective of Scotland Yard, by Peter Claughton. Eliah Coombe, a rogue, by Lee Crutchley. And Captain Herbert Skinner, otherwise known as The Spider, by Malcolm Hayes. The adaptation for radio was by Archie Campbell and Mitchell Raper. The music was composed by Alan Paul, and production for BBC World Theatre was by R.D. Smith.